Life can get pretty complicated. In the Simply Practically Human podcast, Mark Lebusque talks to incredible humans to see the way forward more clearly through the complexity in the world and in our heads. Let's get ready to thrive.
Hey, g'day there, fellow humans. Mark Lebusque here for the Simply Practically Human podcast, my Friday edition. And I wanted to dedicate this week's 20 minutes to the most amazing experience I've just had in Uluru. Let's call it the Red Centre or the spiritual heart of Australia. Out in the outback, I was fortunate enough to be asked way back late last year to be part of an amazing summit or an amazing conference, which was for pharmacy owners. And I want to talk a bit today about perception and some of my perceptions before I got there about what might go on, and then how some of those were absolutely smashed, and perhaps why perceptions can be not reality. I also want to talk today about just the experience itself, and I guess the work that I am so dedicated to, which is about building connection, building that sense of belonging and creating that space for what it is to be human. And I can say that my heart is still full from those 5 days in Uluru. So Alison came with me as well. We flew in on the Monday afternoon. And let me start with the perception piece here, because I think that's a good place to start. And then I'll get into a little bit about the magic that I saw over that time and perhaps some of the lessons that we can all learn when we step into what it is to be human. So perceptions. The Pharmacy Owners Summit. So just think of those words, the pharmacy owners. And for those who listen to my podcast regularly, when I have my guests on, I've had Karen Brown on before, who was one of the co-hosts of this amazing event last week with Felicity Crimston, and ably backed up by Chantel Day and I'm going to say the brilliant John Wood, who was the MC for the time. And also a shout out to John for being such a generous human being, works in the same space as me, but we had some great conversations about how we can help each other out rather than trying to, you know, compete with each other, how we might be able to help each other. So when I spoke to Karen in that initial podcast and some things that have been going through my head, and when perception is my reality, these were the things that started to come into my mind before I got there about pharmacists and pharmacy owners. Technical, boring, overly professional, serious to the extent that they won't crack jokes or they won't want to have a lot of fun. In fact, I did say to Karen when I was on the podcast with her that my experience and the way that I look at a pharmacy when I go in there is that all the serious stuff happens down the back with the very well-groomed looking human beings in their white coats. And more of the fun stuff happens up the front where the jelly beans are. And I've got to say, Karen Brown, I'm disappointed I didn't get any jelly beans, but you did say that there's a shortage of black jelly beans at the moment, so you are forgiven. Highly educated with something else, and uber intelligent. So wondering if they'd be a bit more nerdy for my liking, and very process-driven, because it's all about the process. It's almost like, for those who are Seinfeld fans, it's almost like the Soup Nazi edition. You walk down to the back counter in the pharmacy, you get in your line, you shuffle across, you hand over your script, and then you go and stand over to the side. The other thing that came into my mind too was just their perception of me when I was a customer, because at times they would ask me if I wanted the no-name brand. And I got a bit offended by that, because I was wondering if they thought that I looked like I had the ass out of my pants and then I couldn't afford the good brand. So at times, and I always say to them in there, no, just give me the good brand. But again, I found some things out while I was there that they're all the bloody same. So I've been just doing myself out of a few bucks. But also at the same time, I've been making these people richer than what they are at the moment. So these were my perceptions. As I came in on the Monday, sort of knew Karen a little bit. I'd met Felicity on some calls and you know, so I had a bit of a sense, but there was still this thing in the back of my mind of, will I bloody fit in here? And you know, not that I'm really looking to absolutely fit in, but I'm not quite sure these are my peeps. I'm not quite sure these are my humans that I'd usually hang around with. So they were the perceptions that I had. And I got to say to you, and look, I'm not surprised, but the perceptions were absolutely blown out of the water. And the reality was very, very different. So some of the things I started to find out pretty early was that these human beings are some of the most caring human beings that you could ever come across. And whilst their profession is those things that I talked about, these people are intelligent and they have processes they need to follow. They're very professional. They do come from a technical background. In fact, a few of them said, you know, we're very technical and we don't see ourselves as businessy enough, as they called it, even though we run our own business, because we haven't had that training. They were serious at times, but they were serious for the right reasons. But I must say, given what they've been through in the last 2.5 years and the role that they've all had to play in, I guess, stepping in and as they said at times, making it up almost on a daily basis when they would get some advice and some communication from their respective state governments about what was coming up next. Almost like every day things were changing. And all of a sudden these pharmacists and these pharmacies became the hub of a community, even more so than they were before. And I could tell by the emotion in the voices of these amazing human beings that this last 2.5 years, whilst there was a real sense of pride, it had also taken an emotional toll on them. And some of them really had become overwhelmed with what had gone on. So even the fact that they'd taken time out from what is a really, really demanding time for them, it doesn't seem like it's slowing down anytime soon. They, I think, were smart enough, bold enough, courageous enough to take some time out for themselves, for their own development. I did really work out that they spend so much time giving to their staff and their community that they haven't got a lot left for themselves. So that's something that we talked about. Incredibly welcoming people made Alison and I feel very, very welcome on the first night when they had a little, I guess, a bit of a meet and greet. Now, understanding about 55 of them, and some of them had never met before. Some had met before on virtual calls, some had met face-to-face before the pandemic, but a lot of them had never met each other before. So there can be that awkwardness of, I don't know anyone, I'm a bit introverted, or I've sort of got a little crew here. There were some groups there with three or four people there. And one of the things that Karen and Felicity were interested in doing was to really make sure that they didn't stick to their little pack, that they started to get around and get to meet others and share story, share some of their challenges, share some of the opportunities, share some of the wins they've had in the last couple of years, so that they could get a sense that, you know, they're all in the same thing together. So what does it reinforce for me when I start to look at, if I go more broadly than pharmacists, because this could have been an engineers conference, it could have been a bankers conference, it could have been a government conference, it could have been anything, and I would have my perceptions. And as I found was that most perceptions weren't necessarily reality. What did it reinforce for me, and perhaps some messages for you to think about before you start to go into that filing cabinet that's got a little tab there that says pharmacists or pharmacy owners? So the first one for me is that I'm human and I'm judgy and it doesn't always serve me well. There are times when it may serve me well because it gives me a little bit of a, I guess, a broad brush of the types of human beings I'm going to be engaging with, but I would say that judgment, if not well-intentioned, even if there's a little bit of humor in it as well, will not always serve me well or serve you well. The second one I want to say here is that perceptions aren't reality, but they are a two-way street. And I think there's opportunities from both parties to change this. And some of my advice that I gave to those who were in my leadership session on the first day was that you needed to be bolder. You needed to be more open to share about yourself. You need to break a little bit of the stigma and the judgment and the perception of what you are, because I don't think that this group, and they're not unlike many other groups I work with, I don't think they spend enough time in helping change that perception. And they did an amazing activity on the third day with the brilliant Maz Ferrelli, and you must look Maz up, she is incredible, on a little bit about their branding and whatnot, and they did some really bold things. And I'm hoping that we're going to see a perception change at their own community level, but across the board with these human beings, that they, as they get bolder and they step more into who they are as human beings and perhaps not be caught in the whole idea of this is my profession, we might see something a bit different there. I think the next one is that I should eat my dog food a little more. I talk a lot about the bad news filing cabinets and the good news filing cabinets and the judgment and the perceptions and all of these sorts of things, but I can't help myself, as I'm human, to be very, very judgy. So I need to be careful with judgment. I need to be practicing the two A's, as I call it, awareness and adjustment. Be aware of my judgments, be aware of my perceptions. And if they're helpful for me and others, go with them. But if they're harmful, go into that second A, which is adjustment. And in that moment, adjust that story. And that could even mean just taking time to listen to somebody else before you make that judgment. Listen to them, hear their story, hear about their community, hear about some of their challenges, some of their wins, some of their losses, some of their opportunities, and be careful with the judgment. The next one is, don't always let human beings sit with their comfortable tribe. And I think in the 3 or 4 days of the conference, this was done brilliantly. Of, you know, the simplicity of mixing people up each day so that they couldn't get comfortable. And I know what happens if you had have just allowed these human beings to walk into that room and sit where they wanted. We are human beings and we crave social belonging and we crave, I guess, being part of a tribe that we know. So that would have been very comfortable for people to walk in and just sit in their little groups, whether they were the guys from South Australia or the guys from Queensland or from a particular pharmacy. They would have congregated to one area. But what can happen is when you get people to experience a level of discomfort that they don't know everyone at the table, it gives the opportunity to learn about others but also share about yourself. The next one is embracing the uniqueness in every human being. And look, there were so many stories, you know, same profession. So you could sort of go, let's just get the blanket and throw it over the lot of all of them because they're all the same. They're all pharmacists. They get the white coats on, go down the back, be very serious, hand out the scripts, try and get you to take the no-brand one because it's better for you and all of those sorts of things. Highly educated. But when you strip the white coat off and you embrace the uniqueness of these people, you start to find out that every one of them brought something unique, whether it was the courage and the compassion they showed in the room, whether it was about the particular community that they worked in, whether they were in a rural and remote community like Jess was in Emerald. It could have been Lukeout and Wagga Wagga. Like there was many, many stories about the Carter family who were also out in the country area, the regional area of New South Wales. But and then you start to look at those that are in the capital cities. But so there's a uniqueness that comes from each person. And I think if you take the time not to sit amongst your own clan and hear the same stories, you will start to understand that everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a unique take on the world, on their industry. And you just might learn if you're prepared to sit with someone that you don't know all that well. The last one, which really leans me into the second part of the conversation today, is that, and I'm a big believer in this, fellow humans, and those who know me will know I bang on about this all the time, that connection and belonging trumps all. So we need to spend time to connect, and we need to spend time in not getting straight into the work because it can be easy. And I don't mind these conversations happening, by the way, but it's easy to say, hey, I'm Mark and I'm a facilitator. And I'll go into what I do. I offer this and I offer that. And I've been doing it for 8 years. It's almost like Mark turns up with his CV and he starts to recite his CV, which is an easy thing to do. But what was really, really good at the conference on the first night, I did say to Karen and Felicity that we should incorporate into the cocktail evening 5 questions that we wanted to encourage each of the participants to go and have a chat with someone they didn't know and ask them one of these 5 questions that come out of an amazing little video that I was once gifted by somebody which is called Take a Seat, Make a Friend. And there are these five questions that I suggest to you that could be good ones to use. And I'll put a link in this podcast, in the notes in the podcast, to this video, a great one to use with your people or with a group that's coming together maybe to work on a project when you want to start to get to know each other better. First question is three things on your bucket list. The second one is finding one thing in common. The third one, which is an interesting one, and I say hello to Michelle Martin, who was the very first person I fell in love with, I think when I was seven. So the third one is the first time you fell in love. The fourth one is who inspires you. And the fifth one is a life-changing moment. So just these simple questions were used on that first night, and you could tell. And it was funny because as I was walking around as the teacher, when I'd walk up to someone, they'd be like, oh, yes, I'm asking the questions. And I'm like, I'm not here to check on you. I'm just really keen to know that you're finding things out about each other, because the more time we spend in having those conversations about the human moments, the more we will connect. And I think that really helped for the first day when people walked into the room and they'd already started to find some connection. So I think there's really something in that. And I guess as I sort of move into the second part of this, the thing I want to say here is never underestimate the power of connection, and make sure that even if it's 5 minutes, that spend some time in connecting with someone at a human level rather than in the work sense, because you will drift and migrate to the work conversation. That's natural and there's nothing wrong with it. But I really want to encourage you, as I saw up there, the thing that helped us really kick off, and I had the first day, which could be challenging, but the thing that helped to kick it off was that we invested about 2 or 3 hours the night before in having some simple conversations about things we had in common. The second one is the strong sense of belonging. So this is a group of pharmacy owners. So very, very select group of very successful individuals and human beings from an industry that is like, it's up there. It's a very professional industry. One of the things that became apparent on the first day was that as we got them to share a bit about their stop stories, a little bit about what holds them back and their self-limiting belief, if you like, the stories from their bad news filing cabinet, it became really apparent that we went from people thinking they were on their own and it's just me, to really creating this sense of belonging that, hey, it's not just me and there are other people in this room who are going through some of the stories that I am. Like, I, you know, I'm not commercial enough. I don't have business acumen. I'm a bit too young to be heard because, you know, there's a lot of experience in this room that I don't have. Or maybe some people even saying I'm a bit old and maybe I've been around for a bit too long. So giving people that opportunity to share a little bit about what holds them back. What it did was started to create a stronger sense of belonging. And I think it brought people closer and it got people away from thinking that it's just me in my pharmacy, wherever that pharmacy may be, that has got these issues going on, which can really start to impact on people's confidence, on their self-esteem, and a whole lot of other things along the way. So just, again, simple conversations to allow people to be vulnerable, and the vulnerability in the room and the ability to show courage and show candor and be open. And once somebody started, we just heard more of it, it really opened it up. You could just almost notice that the weight was lifting off people's shoulders when they started to realize it wasn't just them. Which brings me into the next one. And this is something that I saw in spades. And the more I see this in groups that I work with, the more inspired I am to continue to do this work, is to open up and to take off the armor or maybe the white coat and to let your guard down. Now, that can be really hard to do because at times if you don't feel that it's safe enough, you may think that that may come back to bite you on the ass. But again, fellow humans, once one person started to do it and started to share some things and, you know, in particular, I think about some people in the room and particularly Michael from Adelaide. He shared some fairly vulnerable stuff and kudos to him, because once it started, then others were prepared to step in as well and to take that armor off a bit, to open up and to let the guard down that, hey, everything's okay, because you know, in this space for the last 2.5 years, the amount of pressure, the amount of working hours, the amount of changes that were happening on a day-to-day basis, the amount of vaccinations they've been doing in pharmacies that they didn't do before, all of the things that they were doing were creating what we understood was a sense of overwhelm. And it was just nice that people knew it just wasn't them. And the only way you can do that is if you're prepared to share and you're prepared to put it out there that perhaps you're struggling a bit and at times you're going to need some help. Or on the other side, there's some things that you're doing that are working really well and you offer them up as a gift to others. And the last one here I want to talk about is just embracing the concept of being. And, you know, we talk about this on the start of day one when I threw out the idea of the humanization and the idea of, you know, picking a word for the day on how you choose to be. I picked curious because I wanted to get underneath a little bit of what I thought might have been some superficial answers they gave to my questions. And I told them that I was going to be curious and ask more questions so they could understand where I was coming from. There were lots of people saying they wanted to be open. They wanted to be present because there was a lot going on back in their pharmacies and they were a bit concerned about not being there. But I was absolutely delighted that they were prepared to spend some time in just being them amongst their colleagues to learn and to grow and to share and to have a bit of fun as well. And that's the other thing I want to just quickly finish off with was that there was a lot of fun. So there was a lot of fun in the room. There was also a lot of fun outside the room. So there was a sunrise tour of Uluru, of the rock, which was incredible. There was an amazing stroll through the Field of Lights. And if anyone is ever looking for a place to go for a holiday, it's out to Ayers Rock or to Uluru, to Katajuda as well, or the Olgas as they used to be called. There's something magical about this place that creates a sense of fun, but also some sort of sense of spirituality, which is not something I talk a lot about, but something I certainly felt. And that connection that it gave you to the land, but also to the other human beings that you were with. We also had an amazing last night where we were out doing what they call the Sounds of Silence, a beautiful three-course meal out in the, like out in the red dirt, beautifully set up, sitting around the table again with different people, having conversations, getting to know them and being educated by some of the indigenous folk out there on how they use the stars to work out all sorts of things from navigation to seasons to what sort of foods were available at certain times. And just the education that came from listening to others, not just at those things, but in the room, was incredible. So there's a few things there for you to think about. Perception is not reality, or it might be your reality, but it's really not the reality, or it may be a small percentage of reality, but the best way to really get to understand people is to get and spend time with them and understand their stories and hear from them about what's going on in their worlds rather than trying to make it up yourself and creating that. That the power of connection and belonging is what it is to be human. Open up, take off your armor, let your guard down. And I guess that last one of just embrace being. We're human beings, not human doings. So I may miss some names here, but I'm going to give it a crack. And if I do miss anyone, I apologize. But to Karen, Felicity, John, Chantel, Paul, Christian, Dean, Matt, Michael, Selma, Faye, Jackie, Amanda and Paul, Carolyn, Jacqueline and Wes, the Carter family, the Brongers, Lucy, Samantha, Kathleen, Elise, Rebecca, call them the Canberra crew, those ones there, John, who's been 50 years in pharmacy and still loves it, Luke, Lucy and her husband, Andrew, Lachlan, who has a great memory and is a real caring human being because he remembers everyone that comes in to the pharmacy and they love that, Matt, Sanam, Sophie, Sylvie, Amanda, Zahir, Natalie, Marie, Maria, Christina, Louise, Jess, Amy, who's a crazy, crazy Gold Coast Sun supporter, Blaine, Brooke, Lloyd and Catherine, Guy, Andrew, Irene, Norman, Heidi, David, Nicole, and last but not least, Sam, who I found out on the last day, grew up in the same town that I did, and not to forget my fellow presenting colleagues, Maz, Luke and Emma. I just want to say thank you for having Alison and I there. Thank you for making us feel like we belong. Thank you for connecting with us. And thank you for being human. So there you go. Hey, if you love this one, why not rate it 5 stars and leave us a little note about what you loved about it. Maybe there's something in this for you to think about if you're running some sort of little conference or summit or something there, that there's some things you picked up that you can use. Perhaps there's some things you can use in your workplace. If you liked it, share it with your friends, because there might be some there whose perceptions aren't reality and it's holding them back from really, I guess, getting to do what I did and realize that these people, these human beings, these pharmacy owners, these pharmacists are not just the serious dudes down the back on that back counter, very well groomed, taking your scripts off you and doing what they do and telling you to come back in 10 minutes or would you like the no-name one. They are human beings and they are bloody good human beings. So Karen and Felicity, thanks for having me and hope we get to catch up again soon. That's it for now. So as I always say to finish, keep it simple, keep it practical and keep it human. Bye for now.